Used to routine, aren't they? Maybe that's a sign we're getting too routine. All right. Romans chapter number 13 is where we're going. You know what? I say we do this. I say we have Stephen come up here. Come on up, Stephen. How many know Stephen hasn't missed a service since Easter? Anybody know that? Stephen hasn't missed a service since he started coming. How many thinks it would be really good, since this is a small shirt, that Stephen just advertise all around our town with this little shirt? Huh? How many thinks that would be all right? Stephen, you wear this thing with pride all around this city this week, all right? In Jesus' name, that should fit you. It's a small. All right. If you have your Bibles, we're going to Romans chapter number 13. He's on the cutting edge. Nobody else has got one of those yet, so you get to wear one before anybody else has one. If we could all stand for the reading of the Word of God, and I will understand our children. I will try to be a bit more illustrative today, even though I am teaching today. But I will try to be a bit more illustrative for our young children, and try to get it down to your level to where you can kind of see what's going on in the Bible too. Good to see Sister Mary Lou Smith back with us today, feeling better. Hallelujah. That is so exciting. So exciting. God is doing good things. If I'm not mistaken, they had a baby shower in the family yesterday. Is that right? One of her children has a little one on the way, a little baby. So she's going to be grandma here real soon. So we are excited about that. Romans chapter number 13. Everybody there? We are going to be working our way through this chapter. There's only 14 verses in the whole chapter, so keep your Bibles open as I preach today. If you have a Bible or you have it on a tablet, whatever you're using, we're going to start at verse 1. It says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for as there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Everybody say ordained. Anybody know what ordained means? Anybody? Called or appointed or directed by God, basically. Yes, that's pretty close. "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves" what? Damnation. That's not a good place to be. "For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to do the evil wilt thou not then not be afraid of the power. Do that which is good." Everybody say, "Do that which is good." Does anybody else have trouble with that? Doing good all the time, that's not always easy, is it? You try, but sometimes it eludes you. It says, "Wilt thou..." I missed a spot there. "For rulers are not a terror, but evil wilt thou not be afraid. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." What that's saying is the simple fact that if you do good, you're going to be rewarded for the good that you're doing. Not necessarily on a bad sense, but those around you are going to acknowledge the fact that you're doing what's right. And that is a good thing. It says, "For he is the minister of God to thee for good. For if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake." Now we're going to skip down. Let's look at... It says, verse number 12. Everybody there? It says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, not in chambering, in wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Now, it's very important to understand the context of what we're reading here. Paul is writing to the Roman church, and he says, be careful, watch the order of authority in your life, and then don't put these things around you that's going to cause you to stumble. Can we look to the Lord in prayer right now, and then we will let you be seated. Dear Lord, we love you. And we ask you, God, to reach down into this room, guide us in your scriptures, to help us to understand what you're trying to put into our spirits. Guide us and direct us. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said, amen. You may be seated. How many knows in today's society, very few people respect authority the way they should? Very few people. How many knows it's not uncommon for people to look at a cop car and say, rotten cop, must be picking on me. How many knows it's very common to hear people say, well, the government, what's the government? Or the judge, I tell the judge what I think. It's not uncommon today. In today's society, I contend that in Jonah's lifetime and in Stephen's lifetime, there's going to be more and more people incarcerated, in jail, in prisons, doing things simply because of one reason. Nobody can tell them anything. Because what they've done is created in their own mind and in their own thoughts that what I say is right. There's a gray area there that says whatever I think in my mind, that's what's right. I contend that probably Nick, even in school today, is having teachers pound that stuff into their head that, you know what? It's whatever you view and whatever you kind of measure out in life of what you think is right and wrong is really what's right and wrong. It's your belief system. You got to pound it out for yourself. And I contend that is true. You do have to pound those things out for yourself spiritually. The Bible says, seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling, meaning that you shouldn't just trust what everybody else says. Go to the Word of God and know beyond any shadow of a doubt what is truth and what is not truth. That's very important, and that's not difficult to understand. Even on a younger level, we must understand that we must know what it takes to get from here to heaven. That's critical. It's absolutely vital. But on the same token, we take those things from the outside, and we have a tendency to migrate them into the church. Meaning, we don't respect authority outside, and we're our own boss. And we end up migrating those same principles into the church. And how many knows for us adults, it's hard to pastor somebody that won't let you be their pastor. It's very difficult to help somebody and speak into somebody's life when you don't have any influence in them because they won't open up their world to you. They keep their world locked up inside of them. And then when they really hit the bottom and they really need help, it's impossible to speak into their life because they've boxed themselves out and they won't open up spiritually to you. This is probably the hardest thing for new people, and I think it was the hand of God. God knew who was going to be here today. I'm preaching predominantly to the church today, the core of the Church of Winnemac here today. With the exception of brother Jonah, this is his first day here. But in all reality, Paul is trying to get through to the church that the rulers are not there to terrorize you. My wife does not like a cop to follow her in a vehicle. That does not set well with her. It makes her nervous. She doesn't like a cop in her vicinity. She'll tell the kids, put your seatbelts on, make sure your seatbelts are on, make sure this is right, make sure this is right. Because of the police officer could be willing to pull us over, and they could be willing to write out one of those little things that says, give me $25 because you don't have your what on? Your seatbelt on. You ever been there? And the police officer. But the reality is, and what do we have a tendency to think at that point? Why did he take my $25? It's my choice if I want to wear my seatbelt or not, is it? But the reality is, that police officer is not a terror to you, because there was actually a young man in the Pentecostal church that actually had an accident. What was that? Maybe just this summer. They were going way faster than they should. had a car accident going nearly 100 miles an hour or over 100 miles an hour. All the kids survived but one. And guess which one didn't survive? The one that did not buckle up. Because he was thrown from the car and the car flipped over and landed onto him. And that's what killed him. But the officer said if he'd have had his seatbelt on, he'd have probably lived through it. But we think, give me my $25. Why you want to take my $25? I worked hard for that $25. But the reality is that police officer is not being a terror going around saying $25, $25, $25, just to collect $25. He's doing it so that Stephen will wear his seatbelt. And Jonah will drive with the lights on at nighttime instead of having the lights off. And so that Nick would know that when I'm driving down the road, I've got to keep both hands on the wheel and I can't be playing with my iPod trying to find music and I need to watch the road. Or he's going to give me a what? He's going to give me a ticket. Very simple. But the police officer is trying to protect who? You. Not me, you. Me, you, me. He's trying to protect all of us. The reality is, he is watching out for your own life. And we think the police officer is picking on who? Me. But he's not. He's trying to save your life. May I bring it to a spiritual aspect? As a pastor, I am trying to save your life. The reality is what stands in eternity is heaven or hell. And what you do and how you construct and the preparations that you make between here and there is going to determine which of those eternities you spend the rest of your eternity in when you leave this life. And it's very important for us to understand. It's very important for me to understand the fact that I may preach something that sometimes does not set well with you. You know what? Someday I may preach that Stephen can't go get candy whenever he wants to. How you doing? I'm just picking on you. And you know what? Stephen may say, you know what? That preacher told me I couldn't go get no candy. So you know what? I'm going to take my t-shirt and I ain't going to go back to church no more. But whose life does that affect? The preacher? It affects Stephen's. And he may get up there and preach the next Sunday that Jonah can't go get no candy. And Jonah may say, you know what? I'm not going back to that church no more because that preacher won't let me get candy. And obviously he knows that's not true. But the reality is very, very simple. We as individuals must realize there's going to be times I'm going to preach things that may not sit so well with you. And now I'm preaching to the adults. There may be things that I preach that you may not understand. Why does it really matter? Why does that preacher really care? One simple reason. I'm trying to get you to heaven. My calling and my authority in your life is to watch for your soul. And that's why Paul was telling the Roman church, the minister of God to thee is for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute the wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now understand, I am not going to execute evil upon anybody. That's not what the Bible is saying. The Bible says the word of God is what's going to judge you. And if I am preaching you the word of God and it doesn't sit well, don't blame me. You must look at the word of God. It says, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man any, what? Thing. How many of you know it's a miserable thing to have debt over your head? That's like carrying around a weight. If I were to pick up this chair and try to hang it over my neck and try preaching every Sunday with this chair over my head. That's what it's like having debt on your life all the time. You can't move, you can't get around, you can't do what you need to do. Why? Because you have a debt. And that is what sin literally does to us. You have this baggage of if you ask these adults, you young people can understand this. You ask these adults, you get addictions on your life. And it's like piling on another bag and piling on another thing. And pretty soon you're walking through life literally like this. But it's not always sin. Sometimes it's the decisions that we make. Sometimes it's the money that we spend that we don't have. Sometimes it's the extra things that we could maybe live without. Or maybe God blessed us. Anybody ever been here? I can preach these things because I've been there. How many knows? Sometimes God gave us overtime. God blessed us and we had the little extra money. But you know what? We went to Walmart. And then a week later, we found out why God gave us and blessed us with that money before that Walmart got. It was because the electric bill was going to go up 20%. He gave us that extra to make sure we were prepared. But because we didn't use it wisely, could it be that now we've got a weight that was added upon us? We must understand that adding those things and those weights, it's not wise to spend money that you don't have. It's not wise to do things that you know you shouldn't do because they become weights. You shouldn't owe people things. You shouldn't borrow things from people. You say, what do you mean? Stephen, what if you had a brand new bicycle? Brand spanking new off the showroom floor with sparkly tires, glittery things on the handlebars, chrome handlebars, reflectors on that thing. And I come to Stephen and said, hey, Stephen, I want to go ride that trail that they got down the road. Can I borrow your bike? Would you loan that bike to me? Stephen says he'd loan it to me. And he probably would loan that bike to me. The reality is, what happens if I get down the road and I wreck Stephen's bike? And they don't make any more like that. And I don't have the money to replace Stephen's bike. Now, what's the problem between me and Stephen? Stephen's like, you took my bike. You're going to pay for it? You're going to replace it? What about my bike? Well, the reality is very simple. I would have never been in that bind had I never borrowed what? Your bike. I put that weight upon myself because of the decision that I made. It says, for this thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as what? As thyself. Now, let me ask you this. If this little girl back here on the back row, right there, if she were to come to me and say, Pastor, I don't like you no more. Would that hurt me? Sure it would, because I want her to like me. But the reality is very simple. Love is important. You don't have to like somebody to love somebody. You say, what do you mean? If Nick were to go down there and that buddy that once had punched him in the nose, I hope he didn't, but use it for a figure of speech. If he punched him in the nose, and now Nick is being a Christian, are you still going to remember he punched you in the nose? Yeah, because it hurt. Sure you remember it. We are, as adults, are going to remember when they did us wrong. But that does not escape the fact that we still have to show love and kindness. Even though we've been done wrong, we don't live under an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. We live under love. And I want you to understand that the Bible says the Old Testament law. Now, you understand in the Old Testament, what would happen in the Old Testament if he punched you in the nose? You know what you were allowed to do? Punch it, stand still, Bubba, because you've got it fixing to come. That was under the law. It's coming right back home. If you cut my finger off, put out your hand and get out the knife, because you're losing a finger too. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But the reality is, the Bible said the New Testament did not void the law, but it was fulfilled. So the law was fulfilled through what? If you look at the next verse, it says, the law was fulfilled through love. The fact that Jesus Christ came and shed his blood on Calvary so that Jonah could be saved. And Stephen could be saved. And these two guys and Nick could go down and go to a baptismal tank one day and get buried in the wonderful name of Jesus. And every bad thing that they had ever done, every bad thought they had ever had, every little thing that ever went through their mind, every kid they'd ever punched in the nose, which I hope they didn't, God remembers no more. It's washed away. It's purified. Now that's what you call real, true love. That a God... Now, let me just ask Jonah. Does it make sense that God would create man, man would go out and sin and do bad things and do awful things, and then that God that created man would come to earth and then go get hung on a tree and die to forgive the man that he'd created? That doesn't make any sense, does it? To us, that, because we think under man's concept. But the reality is, that is exactly what God did. God came to earth to shed his blood on Calvary so that Jonah could be saved, that Stephen could be saved, that Rodney could be saved. A very simple concept called L-O-V-E, called love. It says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you got your Bibles and we're looking, following on, verse number 10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love doesn't do anything to harm the one that you're in contact with. And who is our neighbor? Who is our neighbor? Anyone we're in contact with happens to be our neighbor at that point in time. Looking on to the next one. It says, therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, and everybody say, now. Everybody say, now. One, two, three, now. Now is the time. Now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Now think about this. Paul said, you were saved. You were sanctified. But now your salvation is nearer than the day you believed. Brother Donnie, I'm thankful that I don't have to go in this life forever. And that every day I live, I am one day closer to heaven. Every day that I walk in this life, Sister Mary Lou Smith, I'm one day closer to getting to heaven. Every day that I walk, I'm getting closer to heaven. The devil can't stop me. There's nothing the devil can do to keep me from heaven. The only thing that can stop me from getting to heaven is if I choose to walk a different way. If I choose one day, Brother Stephen, to say, you know what, I'm not going back to that church no more. And I walk over and walk right out that door. That's the only thing that can stop Stephen from getting to heaven, is if he makes a choice to no longer live for God. It says, verse 12, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off, to throw, cast off the works of darkness. Get rid of those things that bind us. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Here's the one of the last. I've got two more points, and we're gonna bring it down to a slow halt here. We've got to cast off the things that associate us with this world. When we become a Christian, the Bible says old things are passed away, all things becomes new. Now, I know I'm talking to the adults, and that includes Brother Nick. We as individuals have to make the choice that I'm not going to walk the way I used to walk. Some of us have the concept that if I come to God, I get buried in His name, I get the Spirit of God living inside of me, I can go on and God's just going to insulate me from this world. It doesn't happen that way. That happens when Rodney gets up the next morning and says, you know what? I used to smoke cigarettes, but today I'm not smoking cigarettes anymore because now I'm a child of the King. It's the day when Sister Denise gets up that next morning and says, you know what? And we know she's the nicest lady ever. She gets up and says, you know what? I'm not going to have a bad attitude anymore. I'm now going to be nice to people. I'm not going to cuss out the donut lady anymore. Because now is the time. Now. And that's the problem is, when is your now? Your now only starts when you make a choice that says, now is the time. Now, today is the day that I'm going to get up and I'm not going to be what I used to be. I'm going to make a decision that now is the time. Today is the day that I am not going to be who I used to be. I'm going to get rid of that old man. That old man was left in the tank, and I'm not going back to pick him up. He is going to stay there. So therefore, I'm going to walk honestly. I'm not going to be out there causing riots. Now, I wonder if anybody out there in Missouri that was spreading all that chaos a couple of weeks ago that said they were doing it in the name of justice and in the name of God, have ever read that the Bible says that you're not supposed to be rioting. They claim this is all for the good cause. Well, biblically it doesn't line up. It says not in rioting and in drunkenness. How many of you have seen somebody that was all liquored up? Now let me ask you this. You have people that have this concept. Now I'm going to be pastor just for a minute. Some people have the concept that I can be a social drinker. And it won't bother me because I just go and I'll drink a little bit, but I won't get drunk. Could I tell you, anytime your mind is impaired and you can't think clearly, it's a dangerous place to be because now you are not in control of your destiny. There are other things controlling your mind and your body, and that is not the will of God because you no longer have the ability to make that choice. You have given it up to a bottle. You have given it up to a pill. You've given it up to things that now control you instead of you controlling yourself. So there must come a day that you say, know what? I am not going to be. Now I am going to be different. Not in wantonness, not in strife, not in envying. But verse 14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I've used this illustration many, many times. How many of you would build a house, box that house all in, finish all the drywall, put all the trim up, do all the things to make that house the house it should be? And then go down to the African safari and buy you a panther put it in the house and turn it loose, and then go in and go to bed. How many of you would do that? Nobody would do that in their right mind. But how many of us do that spiritually? We take the things of this world and we place them into our safety zone called our home. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the things that can destroy us. Whether they be things on the internet, things that you're going to see, things that you may read, magazines you may look at. All of those things that if they cause you to lust, if they cause you to look at things you shouldn't, cause you to have thoughts that you shouldn't have, then you must separate yourselves and make not provisions, the Bible says, for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Because you won't have the lust if you don't make a provision for it to be there. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean simply this, that if you struggle with those things, you've got to insulate yourself and protect, put guard barriers around you. Even to the point, you know what, if you struggle with some of those things, maybe you shouldn't even have the newspaper around you if the sale ads are coming and there's nudity in those sale ads. Even to that point. Why? Because you're protecting yourself. Is there anything wrong with reading the newspaper? No. But you've got to know your weaknesses and you've got to protect those things. If you have trouble with slipping up and having a drink every now and then you better not be around anybody that's drinking at all. Don't put any in anywhere in your reach and don't go any place that serves it. That may mean... I know Sister Denise is not a drunkard, so I'll use her for an example. That may mean Sister Denise can't eat at Applebee's anymore. You say, well, there's nothing wrong with eating at Applebee's. No, there's not for me because I never was tempted to do those things. But if you came from that world and you know you may slip, that's probably not the restaurant to hang out at because there may come a day that you're weak. And you're going to order a cold one and you're going to fall right back into that trap. Make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust there. Go somewhere where they don't serve it and you know you can't get it. So there ain't no need in even asking for it. And what are you doing? You're saying, boom, the door is closed, devil, because now it's a new day. I'm not going to fall for your tricks and your traps anymore. And I'm not going to set myself up for any falls anymore. And I'm coming to a close. And the last point is very simply this. You've got to insulate yourself. But at some point in time, there has to be the now moment in your life. That Stephen says, I don't care what every other kid in the school does. I'm going to be a child of God. There has to be a point in your now life that it's not just spiritual. That Sister Denise says, you know what? Now, I'm going to be the best employee that this company ever had. Brother Rodney says, you know what? I'm going to make this metal factory the most money they have ever made. And this is I'm going to be the best employee they've ever had. And it's going to start when? Now. Because if you wait at a convenient, you wait until a convenient time, it'll never happen. Can I get even a little more personal? If we say next week, maybe the time will come when I can start fasting. No, it's now. Maybe next week I'll have the time and I can start giving. No, it's now. Maybe next time I'll have the extra time to go spend some time in prayer. No, it's now. That means if God is telling me, I go down and start praying right now. Sister Mary Lou, I hope someday if I were dying and God told you to come pray for me, you didn't say, well, maybe next week. No, I would want it to be right now. Because the need's at hand. But everything else in life, we have a tendency to say, well, when I fit it in my schedule. But that's not the case. The only thing you're really going to change in your life It's when you decide right now. Don't put off to tomorrow what can be done today. If I'm going to win a soul, it's going to happen right now. If Nick's going to win Byron to God, it's not going to happen next week. It's going to happen when Nick says, you know what? I'm going to find Byron. We're going to play some music. And you know what? I'm going to tell him. Pastor was asking about you, and you ain't been to church in a while. You told him you'd be back. Why don't you come with me next Sunday? Or we could just sit back and pray that God changes the situation. But the difference is what's happening right now. God can change it, but do we wait for all the addictions to attach themselves to Byron's life before we actually get into Byron's world? And when I leave this sanctuary today, I could pray that Tracy gets better. Or I could stop and pray for Tracy now. As we're all standing, if they're coming to the music, I'm closing now. Everybody say now. Thank you, Jesus. He's closing now. And I realize as adults, I've preached on a little multitude of levels today. But I hope you young people, I hope you kids, did you get anything out of this today? Did you learn a little bit?